You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah! Woo! Heck yeah, baby!
Rivers gives to Strolls, angling left. Has room. 15, 10, 5.
15.
Jackpot!
Win.
He got it! Yeah. He got it! He got it! Touchdown, Antonio Gates!
112 career touchdown catches. That's the most by an NFL tight end all time.
I would have hoped that if people would have figured it out, I'd just like to play football.
This is Score More with Garrett Sisten.
Hey, welcome everybody to a new episode of Score More. Thank you for tuning in. Garrett here, going solo. You know, usually I've got the bells and whistles. I got, you know, the games from last weekend. I've got a, hey man, what are you doing? Some bits planned today. None of that. I'm just riffing. I told Eddie to take the week off and extend a vacation from last week. So, you know, it just feels like who wants to get into all that right now? Which, I mean, eventually we'll get back to it. But right now, I mean, you don't want to hear about the Chargers. I certainly don't want to get into it again because who wants to go into the playoff picture and all that? Chargers are less than 10%. They're like number 9 in terms of draft position. They're in line with the Jets right now in terms of record. The Giants, the Jets don't even have a capable quarterback. Neither do the Jets or the Giants. What did I say? Jets and Giants, Bucks. I mean, they're in a transitional year with Baker Mayfield. I mean, the teams that they're lined up with right now in terms of record, those teams are bad, and they're supposed to be bad. I don't think anybody predicted the Chargers to be last in their division. There's a ways to go, so they may not be fourth, but I don't know that anybody predicted them to be worse than the Raiders and the Broncos. I certainly think everybody thought the Chiefs would still reign the AFC West, but I don't think anybody thought the Chargers would be this bad. I don't think in your worst projections anybody thought the Chargers would be this bad. Maybe, you know, underperforming on paper, sure, but boy, not like this. And so, you know, I just feel like everything's kind of going a little sideways and people are kind of just missing the point a little bit. Benjamin Salik wrote an article today for The Ringer about Tom Telesco and kind of the Chargers' history right now and wasting Herbert's rookie window, which is a thing we hammered home a lot the last couple years. And in fact, just a couple days ago on our podcast. And then, you know, it's all kind of centered around Tom Telesco and his misses in the draft and in free agency. and how Herbert had that rookie window. And that's usually when teams start to push it all in and make their run when they've got a talented quarterback like Justin Herbert. But Chargers missed it, paid Justin Herbert what he was definitely worth. And then now looks like they're going to have to tear it all down and rebuild again, which sucks. And on that note, it feels like there's, three guys that really have earned, and I'm just talking about veterans, that have really earned their spots. Justin Herbert, obviously you're not trading him away, but what he's gone through in terms of, you know, injuring his finger, getting beat up, standing in and making tough throws, it's felt like he could have maybe been removed in that game against the Ravens on Sunday night for the hits he took late, but stood in there, kept playing. A guy who's always, always, always hanging tough and trying to win football games. And he's absolutely earned the respect of the teammates outside of what other people might say on the internet. He might not be the vocal leader, but he has certainly earned the respect. Keenan Allen, you know, when they drafted Mike Williams, Keenan Allen was, you know, did an interview and was like, hey, you know, they're trying me. Like, they drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They want to replace me. I'll show them type of attitude. It happened again this year. They drafted Quentin Johnston. Keenan Allen again said, you want to try me? And he's going on to close to a career year this year and has absolutely earned everything this year. He has been the only viable receiving option while everybody else has just been either injured or not living up to expectations. It's all Keenan Allen, and he's earned some respect, and quite frankly, he's earned another contract. You know, you kind of felt like, oh, you know, maybe it's time to cut Keenan Allen loose pretty soon, but that man still got it. And I'm not talking a five-year extension, obviously, but he's earned some extra money, and the Chargers should pay him for it. And then the other guy is Khalil Mack. At the beginning of the season, I thought Khalil Mack was a guy that was going to be cut regardless, but the way in which he's playing, 13 sacks this year, he's going on to a career year, has his most pass deflections of his career this season. He has been absolutely wonderful. And I know that he had a, you know, a real crazy game against the Raiders and that padded his stats a little bit, but he's a top five sack leader right now. Forget all that noise. He is the lone pass rusher, and not discluding Thule because he's a rookie and he's made some flashes, and I'm not saying he hasn't earned it too, but it just feels like between Mack, Herbert, and Allen, of these veteran guys, they have really made a case for keeping them in 2024. Now, if they get rid of Mack, I'm not all that disappointed. He's an aging veteran. I get it. You're going to keep a guy like Thule. You're not getting rid of the rookies, but what other player can you honestly say has earned another spot in 2024? I'm not saying, again, you know, you're not getting rid of Jamari Salyer or Zion Johnson or Rashawn Slater. Slater, you know, has been banged up and has been kind of up and down this season. He hasn't returned to form from his rookie year, but obviously been solid. But outside of that, when you look at everybody else, I'm talking every other position, I cannot say there's another player that has earned themselves a role on this team, a starting position going into 2024, other than some of those players.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, just defensively especially. I mean, Thule is one guy, but between SJD, Bosa, who he's injured again, but even when he wasn't injured, you know, they beat up on the Jets and Raiders offensive line. But outside of that, I mean, just no shows. Thule has really shown that he could put something together. He's showing some flashes for sure. But, I mean, Tito was supposed to come back and flash at some point. Hasn't. There hasn't been a single corner or safety. DB in general has been not good. Linebacker is a whole position they're going to have to punt and restart, put Henley in and work from there, I guess, because nothing's working that way. And Derwin James, I mean, they don't know how to use him. And as good as he was as an athlete, I mean, in coverage, he hasn't shown that he's all that good. So there's some issues with this team from offense to defense. But, man, it just – somebody's got to earn it towards the end of this year. That's what happens in a lost season. Players got to show that they deserve to be here again for another year. Some guys are going to be given that opportunity because they're rookies and they're under contract. But, man, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be cut this season, and it's going to be a total new-looking team in 2024 because they're going to have to. And, quite frankly, the owner's cheap, and he's not going to want to be over the line in terms of money. So, you know, there's going to be some cuts this season. And that's who I really wanted to get to today because, you know, outside of the players, which I mentioned are all underperforming, you've got, you know, Tom Telesco, which we mentioned, missing on draft picks, really bad. Feels like 3 or 4 years in a row, if not his whole career. I mean, he's had a bunch of singles, and this was the problem after the draft this year. They had to hit a home run, man. They needed to get some good picks in. They needed to take some swings. That's when you draft the Zay Flowers and the Jordan Addisons. Even though they're below your threshold in terms of size, you got to go after those guys because if they do pan out and they have the skills and they're those home run hitters on the field, that's who you want on your football team. And that's why you don't go for a more safe guy like Quentin Johnston, who's got the higher floor of a guy like Addison or Flowers. You don't play it safe. And there were a bunch of singles in these drafts, but there were no home runs, no big swings. You know, they got guys like Jamari Salyer, but that's later in day three. You know, when you're taking a swing on a guy who's kind of fallen down the draft board, that's great, fine. But man, just no big swings in this organization. So Brandon Staley, obviously not working out right now. He's getting real punchy with the reporters now. And I feel like the point is being missed here. And the point is that the owner, Dean Spanos, is not only cheap, like I mentioned, but, and, you know, he threw some money at some free agents 2 years ago. I get that. But once Dean got the team from his dad, they were a really, really good football team. This was between the Marty Schottenheimer, Norv Turner days. You know, it felt like Alex was kind of, he was the principal owner and he gave Dean some leeway in terms of business decisions and all that, but he wasn't the controlling owner until, you know, the 2000s. And it was right around 2006 when Marty gets fired, Turner comes in, and they've got a really, really good football team. They're, you know, they go from 14-2 to 11-5, which is still good, still the top of the AFC West. But outside of that, it just all fell out. He inherited a really, really good football team, had a really good general manager in A.J. Smith. We know what happened there. A.J. Smith gets let go because there's issues internally. And you bring on Tom Telesco. Tom Telesco hires Mike, you know, Dean Spanos has to fire Norv Turner after a lost year in 2012. Brings on Mike McCoy in 13. That doesn't go well. Brings on Tom Telesco at that point. They hire Mike McCoy. Fire Mike McCoy. Hire Anthony Lynn. Fire Anthony Lynn. Bring on Brandon Staley. Probably going to end up firing Brandon Staley. I mean, we all hope that, I mean, you as a fan are hoping, even though the Chargers have a bad owner, because they have a bad owner. Dean Spanos is a bad NFL owner. He was bad way before the whole San Diego, Los Angeles debacle, the ripping the team out of San Diego. And that's not what I'm getting into. That's a whole nother lost issue that, and you know, my feelings on that, but he was a bad owner way before then. And he kind of got lost under the radar a little bit because he's not really a guy that goes out and, you know, gets in front of a camera. He doesn't really do interviews. He's not, you know, verbose like Jerry Jones, and he's not, you know, trying to get out in front and get on camera like a Robert Kraft does a lot, and he's got his own issues. And then, you know, there are just some really, really bad people like Dan Snyder of the Commanders at Washington. I mean, he's just a bad human being. So he was getting the spotlight about how bad he was as an owner. And now Tepper in Carolina is getting a lot of flack for how he's running his organization. And then Dean just staying quiet, hanging under the radar. And, you know, you just hope, again, that a general manager and a head coach can win a Super Bowl in spite of a bad owner. Because that happens. That happens in the NFL. Bad owners can win championships. But it's hard to if you don't hire good people. And it's really, really, really clear that Dean Spanos brings up his family in this organization, and then they hire a bunch of yes men so that their sons can run everything else internally. And then all the blame falls on guys like Tom Telesco and Brandon Staley or Anthony Lynn or Mike McCoy. And they use them as literal shields from the media so that they don't take the flack that they ultimately deserve, because they have no championships under the Spanos name. They've got some banners for winning in the AFC West and getting first place. Great. They've got some playoff appearances. Sure. But they've got so many losses. They've got no real wins where it counts. And that's where it counts is championships. Where it counts is Super Bowls. And how many Super Bowls has Dean Spanos, as owner, been to? As many as I have. As many as you have. So, really, yeah, Brandon Staley isn't good right now. Quite frankly, it looks like he's in over his head. He had a very good team in a very good system with the Rams, where it feels like McVay can kind of drop guys in and out, and that team can be pretty good in terms of coordinators. He's kind of built that system, and that's what good coaches do. And Staley had a really, really successful defense, tried to bring it over to the Chargers, has not had success. And then rather than what most good head coaches do, go outside of themselves and say, hey, this isn't working, I'm going to bring somebody else in to help me, Brandon Staley holds on to those keys as DC. He hires guys to be defense coordinator for just the title. And then, you know, fires one, might fire another. We'll see with Derek Ansley. Who knows? But Brandon Staley just isn't good enough. He's not a good enough head coach. Seems like he's a pretty good, like, leader. The players obviously like him. The media liked him at one point. He's kind of turned on them now. But, you know, that's great. I mean, head coaches need to be player people too, but you also have to have success, and Staley hasn't had that success. And the fact that he's just going to keep doing the same thing and get bad results and not fix it is an issue. And Tom Telesco just seems like a guy who isn't going to take a big swing. He's always going to play it safe in these drafts. He's going to stick with what he wants, and what he wants seems to not be working. Well, it doesn't seem. It isn't working. It hasn't worked. The fact that he's been able to hire three head coaches is a rarity. It's not a rarity for the Chargers because, in the grand scheme of things, the owner doesn't really want to rock the boat, doesn't really want to shake things up midseason, just kind of want to keep things as it is. I mean, look, They can do whatever they want. They have no consequences unless they sell the team. And why would they do that? The Spanos boys can just sit back, screw things up internally, have a bad product, and then just say, hey, look at this general manager. Even though we're meddling in everything from the top down. You know, so yeah, Tom Telesco is bad. Yes, Brandon Staley's bad. But keep going up. I've mentioned on multiple podcasts, keep going up. The owner is not good. The family is not good at this football thing. So I kind of feel bad for Brandon Staley. I kind of feel bad for Tom Telesco. I always have. But you just win at some point. You just hope that you win in spite of all that. And nobody's been able to do it. Not a single head coach has been able to win a Super Bowl in spite of the Chargers owners. And that's before Spanos and all that, but that's ancient history. I mean, we weren't even born then, you and I. So, because we're young dudes and gals. So we don't even remember that. That's prehistoric, but I'm talking about recent history. Again, no championship banners for the Spanos family. None. AFC West champions? Maybe. Super Bowl champions? Never. Will they ever? If they hire the right people. And the only way to do that is to hire somebody who has NFL experience. These first-year head coaches are not working. Schottenheimer? Worked. Norv Turner? Worked. Anthony Lynn? Mike McCoy? Brandon Staley? Did not. Norv Turner, Schottenheimer, NFL experience. Staley, McCoy, Lynn, coordinators at best. So there you go. That's all I got for you today. I feel like let's not leave Dean Spanos and the Spanos family out of this. Why is it all on Staley? Why is it all on Telesco? Because Spanos goes under the radar. Not with me, because it's always with Dean Spanos. Because every time I see him, they will shoot him in the with a camera, not physically, obviously, but you'll see a shot of him on the field in the press box. Normally, just stone faced, no real emotion. You'll see his sons behind him as little like goblins, like lurking gargoyles lurking behind him, and I roll my eyes because it's their fault. It's their fault. They are in on the process. They have so much pull in the draft room and in free agency, and they hire these people. It is their fault. It is the Spanos family fault that the Chargers are no good. It is not so much Telesco and Staley. While they do deserve blame, obviously, because they're the ones who need to get something out of the people on the field. They need to get wins. It is the guys up top that are hiring them that are not getting it done. So we're in this cycle. And right now it feels like hell. But eventually, hopefully, we'll get out of the cycle. And for now, I just want you to remember, blame the Spanos. Okay? All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. That was it for Score More. Hopefully we got something out of this. I don't know. I blacked out. I just started talking and felt like, guys, why are we giving Spanos a break? Don't. Okay? All right. That's it for Score More. I will see you next week. And let's just hope, for dear God, unless you're voting for somebody to get fired after this weekend, let's hope the Chargers score more on Sunday.